From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Fans of the improv comedy show Whose Line Is It Anyway probably know Colin Mochrie as one of the original cast. He's been on the U.S. version for 20 years and appeared on the British show before that. The iconic comedian will perform at Dad's Garage in Atlanta all throughout the weekend. I caught up with him to learn some of the rules of improv comedy. There's so much that I wanted to talk about with your origins, because you were born in Scotland. Were you a funny kid?
No. I was a quiet, studious bookworm. My plan was to become a marine biologist.
Wow.
And then I was dared by a friend to try out for the school play. I got my first laugh, and that was the end of marine biology.
Well, you were a really shy kid, though, weren't you?
Yeah, incredibly shy.
So what got you up on stage in front of a bunch of your peers?
When people dare me to do things, I apparently do them. And then
maybe you don't want everybody to know that.
No, you're absolutely right. We can edit this later. But once I got that laugh, that was what I wanted. It was like what I'm guessing a heroin hit would be. It just became incredibly addictive. And then I changed in my majors into theater, and then plugged along until it worked out.
Well, your family apparently moved around a lot. You were in Canada as a kid. Then you were in what? Scotland, England, UK. I mean, what was that experience like for you?
It was hard, but I think through that, I learned humor to sort of fit in with new environments. So, kids love, like everybody, love to laugh. So I quickly learned as a sort of a self-defense mechanism to make fun of things and to be funny. It was a long, long process.
Is that so? When did you realize that it was more than just a way to get a laugh, and that it might become a meal ticket?
Maybe in the last 5 years.
So you've just been fudging along?
Just hoping that something would happen. When I was young, there was no such thing really as improv. Nobody said, when I grow up, I want to be an improv comedian, because what's that? And it really wasn't until the success of Whose Line to give us all careers, and we managed to build a net and keep it going. It's just the best of all possible worlds, especially for a lazy guy.
I definitely want to talk about that in a minute, but did you ever do like stand-up comedy?
God, no. I don't know how people do it. My thing always is, if I'm going to die on stage, I'm taking friends with me. I don't want to be up there alone and just feel that. Just the thought of it makes me sick.
How many people are traveling in this show that you're doing now, the improv show that you're going to be doing at Dad's Garage?
It'll just be me working with Dad's Garage. I guess this is maybe my 7th year working with them. Every year I come out and do various types of improv, whether it's the Dungeons and Dragons long form or short form games, and I'll be coming out for the Christmas Carol this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the draw there? What's the pull to a Dad's Garage or Atlanta?
The company is one of the best improv companies I've ever worked with. Everyone is a top world-class improviser. Kevin, who runs the theater, is a Canadian, so I'm forced to work with him. We have to stick together. And I love doing things that I've never done before and challenge me. When I first came out to Dad's Garage, what I loved was I didn't know anybody. So, when I'm working with Ryan or Wayne, I can sort of figure out where they're going to go. But when I'm working with people I've never worked with before, it makes me sort of go back to the basics of improv and really listen hard and work more in the community. So it's always good for me as a learning experience.
Well, I'm glad to hear you speak so highly of Dad's Garage, because you came up through Second City in Toronto, and a lot of listeners might have heard of Second City in Chicago, which has churned out a long list of Saturday Night Live cast members and stand-up comedians. What made that such a great place to learn?
It's like a comedy college. You have to come up with a sketch show, and then after the sketch show, you would do like a half hour to 45 minutes of improv. And you learned how to deal with an audience. You learned where your strengths were, where your weaknesses were. For me, talking to an audience was something I always never felt great about. And then through Second City, sometimes as you're setting up a scene, the actors wouldn't be ready, so you had to sort of extend and stretch the time a little. So that's where I learned to be comfortable not having anything and just sort of talking to an audience. And, you know, writing sketches is really, really tough. But there were so many great people at Second City. I learned a lot just from a writing aspect. And being able to improvise every night also builds up that muscle. So it really is a comedy college.
Well, but there's a lot of physical comedy in it, too. So is there, you know, how do you loosen up the body for that kind of thing? Or do you? Do you just drink a lot of coffee or alcohol or whatever?
Yeah, I personally, there are sometimes I'm flipping through a channel and I'll see a old Who's Line and I'm watching myself going, wow, I can no longer do that. And I wasn't sure I could do that at the time. It's one of those things where you just have blind faith that your body will do what your brain is telling it. And sometimes it works and sometimes you just hurt yourself.
Well, then let's hear a little bit of Who's Line, because you mentioned it. The show began in the U.S. in 1998, and you were with it from the jump. And before that, you were on the British version. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, there's been some strange sightings.
And some strange smells.
Well, we are in a sewer.
Well, I suppose we better look around. Oh, my light doesn't work.
Oh, I got a match.
Don't light that in here! Oh, there's gas!
Your friendship with your co-star, Ryan Stiles, is pretty well known. How does that play into it? I'm imagining that trust has to be a big part of improv. I mean, you have to support each other.
Absolutely. I mean, all you have really is your own brain, whatever the audience has given you, and the person you're working with. So trust really is a big part of it. When I'm doing scenes with Ryan, or many people now, you know, people at Dad's Garage or whoever I've built a relationship with, I usually know maybe 80% of the time where they're going to go in the scene. And when I don't, I trust them enough just to follow and see what happens. It really does take a lot of the pressure off being in front of an audience who are expecting something.
But how about this idea that you mentioned working with the Canadians? You know, you have a, let's say, a reputation for being very polite Canadians. And but I think that sometimes in improv, it can be harsh or gestures can be really crude. I mean, does this allow you to get outside of yourself in some way?
Oh, yes. Yes. my wife calls the person on Who's Line the other, because it is nothing like me in real life. And in real life, I tend to be quieter. I'm more of a listener. But when you're out on stage, I think part of it is also you go into survival mode. So you'll do anything to get the laugh, anything to keep that scene going. You have no shame or embarrassment. You just go for it. And the audience reacts to that.
So there must be a lot to unlearn as well as learn.
Basically, it's everything you do in life you have to unlearn. You have to be able to trust yourself to walk out on stage with absolutely nothing. Just the belief that, a belief in yourself and the belief you're working with the people you're working with, that it's all going to work out. And it usually does. And that was always the thing I worked on. As a young improviser, I worked the hardest on making sure I could walk out on stage with nothing preconceived, with never thinking, well, if this comes up, I'll say this. Just to sort of relax and be free on stage to do whatever comes up.
So probably calling on a lot of life experiences without a script. So say you get a cue, you're supposed to act like a dog going for a walk. What do you think of dogs you've seen walking, parks? I mean, how do you pull that out?
Yeah, everything that you've ever seen on television, every movie, every person you know, it's all been stored away in your brain. So luckily, I have two dogs who are insane, so I immediately have something I could do as a dog on a walk. And it could be anything from an experience I had with a dentist. Everything that's ever happened in my life is sort of tucked away and fodder for anything that may come up during improv.
Has anyone ever called anything out that you had never heard of?
Oh, sure. I was in Britain doing some shows there with improvisers, and I was doing a scene with a friend, and he said, could I have a historical event? And it was the abdication speech of Charles II, which oddly, I know nothing about. And my friend said, okay, Colin, you'll take this. So the beauty of improv is whatever I make up in that world is automatically correct. You may think you know what the abdication speech of Charles II is, but in my world, it ended up being, I have a dream. And the audience enjoys it because they know I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm having fun because I'm just trying to survive the moment. And the other improvisers who know way more than I do are also having a good time. So it works out.
Doesn't everybody know the famous I have a dream speech from Charles II?
They do now.
I'm speaking with the improvisational comedian and actor Colin Mochrie. The Whose Line Is It Anyway star is going to be performing at Dad's Garage this weekend in Atlanta. What do you do when somebody says something that you know absolutely nothing about? You just scramble?
Yeah, you just commit to it. All of a sudden, you believe you know absolutely everything about that subject. And in your world, it's true. We're always trying to find different ways to get suggestions. And once we got for an occupation, we got lactation expert, which is great because we never get that. And I know, a few points about it. I'm certainly not an expert, but it makes it fun because it gives you so much to play with, and the audience kind of enjoys it because they know you're not a real expert, and you can make up anything, and it works.
So is saying no in improv allowed?
You're not supposed to, but that's where it gets confusing. You can say no in a scene, but you can say no in a way that's still positive and you're still supporting what the other person has offered. If someone said, let's go to the park, and you say no, that kind of stops the scene dead. But if someone comes and goes, hey, did you just kill my aunt? You can go, no. And you've sort of kept the scene going. You still have somewhere to go with that.
I want to ask you a little bit about singing in improv, but first, let's hear a little example. This is you singing with Ryan Stiles.
My own leg is freezing cold. I have no leg warmer to hold. They freeze away my from my knee.
So part of what seems to be funny about improv singing is that, the final word that rhymes and finishes the song and makes the jokes. So do you have to make up a whole verse in your head before you even open your mouth?
Yeah, it's, it's not my strength. And it's the thing I envy most about people like Wayne Brady, who can do it, or Brad Sherwood, who I tour with, is they can do the funny verse, but they can also make it sound good and have fun with the musical style. And those are all things I can't do. I can come up with the funny verse. So usually you work your way backwards. You start with your punchline and then try to figure out a way to get there through rhyme. And it all happens within seconds. And sometimes it works beautifully for me, and then sometimes it doesn't.
Improvisational comedian and actor Colin Mochrie. The Whose Line Is It Anyway star is going to perform at Dad's Garage this weekend in Atlanta. And after the break, we'll learn more about his career in comedy and how the once shy kid now connects with people. This is On Second Thought. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Arthur Any More Donuts. Our top story today, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, dead at 53. I know it is sad. Over Barcelona today, the famed reindeer was hit by a flock of seagulls and a 747. Eyewitnesses report that the reindeer in Spain was hit mainly by the plane.
That is my guest, Colin Mochrie, from the TV series Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's performing at Dad's Garage this weekend in Atlanta. Can you tell us about a memorable flop?
Oh, there's just so many.
You've tried to have them erased, have you?
There was one scene I was doing. This was in Theater Sports, which is sort of an improvised sports event where there's two teams of improvisers. There's a referee who gives a challenge. Then there's judges. And we did this scene. Again, I was just sitting off in the corner. Someone came up with the idea, but then pushed me out. And I was trying to make it work. I think it was Gilligan's Island doing a 60 Minutes thing. It started to die. The audience started to boo, which I always think, this is a bad sign. So I started pulling up about 15 people from the audience, put them on stage. Then I sat in the audience and said, if you think it's so easy, you do it. You shouldn't really do that.
Sounds like a pretty good tactic. Okay, so how about for the television show? You're talking a lot about a lot of live stage things. Is what we see pretty much how it goes?
Yeah, it's the best gig in the world. We show up, I think we do something like 22 games, and we just go through it. There's no editing. We don't stop and do it again. What you see is what you get. The beauty of that show is if something goes wrong, it's usually just kept in. Things like Ryan smashing his head on the neon in front of Drew's desk and almost bursting into flames, or Wayne picking up a woman's and lifting her skirt up to the camera. Those things usually stay in because they sort of show it's not a polished performance. It's improv and anything can happen.
So when you're on stage, yeah, you're not necessarily a saint, but when you're on TV, you do have to comply with FCC rules. Have you ever gone too far and gotten into trouble?
When we moved the show from Britain, it was a bit of a learning curve, because in Britain, you could do anything, basically, and they let it go. And when we moved to the States, they actually had a censor in the booth, because usually they get scripts. Because there was no script, they had to be there for the taping. And they would actually stop the tape. There was one scene where I was in love with Greg Proops, so I kissed him. And this voice came over the loudspeaker and said, can you make up something else, please? And Drew had a real button about censorship. So for the next 10 minutes, you couldn't use anything because he would introduce the games using words you can't use on television. So they finally decided, we'll do the show, and then after the show, the producer and the censor can fight over whatever they can keep in or keep out. But the weird thing is, I never knew where the line was. There were some things they kept in where I went, what? And then there were other things where they bleeped out the word hand, and it just made it sound worse than it actually was. So we quickly learned, you know what, we can't think about it. Let's just do what we do. We're really good at, we realize we have to keep the show fairly clean because there has to be something for them to show at the end of the taping. But we couldn't worry about the degrees of filth because we never exactly knew what it was. We were told you couldn't make fun of old people. If you were playing a prostitute, you had to be more coquettish and slutty, and of course, no swearing.
Of course, that's governing what's on stage. But now, people, celebrities, comedians, especially, are out in the public eye in a lot of other ways on social media. And I'm sure you've heard about comedian Kevin Hart's withdrawal from hosting the Oscars. This is following some homophobic tweets. Do you think comedians should be held to standards that other public figures abide by and be politically correct?
Yes. I mean, it's a fine line. I think comedians are jesters. They're here to sort of hold up the mirror to the insane parts of our lives, whether it's in politics or social mores. But yeah, I think you also have to be careful where you go against a group of people, whether it's a race or sexual orientation or gender. It's a tough one because it's so easy if you start to censor one thing, it bleeds into another thing, and then another thing, and so it's very dangerous.
So when you're performing in front of live audiences, do you ever think you have to hold back on certain jokes?
I have. Recently, I have a transgender daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'd done some interviews about it, and I got this email from a transgender improv artist in London who has an LGBTQ improv group, and said, I saw your interview. I think it's great that you're so supportive of your daughter. But can I ask you that to be aware of the transphobic and homophobic things that you do on Whose Line?
Hmm.
And immediately I thought, oh, my God, he's so right. It was one of those things where you look back and, you know, if you're starting to flail a little bit, the funny thing was, oh, he's not a guy, he's really a woman, or do some sort of homophobic thing. And I asked him if I could print his email on Facebook. I did, and then it sort of opened up a discussion with all the improv groups around the world. And it is something that I've started to think more about. I mean, I'd be very fortunate in that I get a lot of positive emails from people saying, you know, I was going through a divorce or a parent was dying, and Whose Line helped me get through that. And you think, if, you know, a half hour of improv can influence people positively, then it makes sense it could also do it negatively. So it's something I've really been aware of in the last couple of years.
Oh, especially with a lot of comedy, that may be a default. You know, those old, I don't know, I'm just thinking of like, you know, Benny Hill,
yeah.
The sort of physical comedy, the sort of completely disrespectful of a lot of different populations. Is that one more thing to unlearn?
I guess. I think there's ways to make light of everything, but without hurting people involved, if you know what I mean. There was a news comedy show that I was involved with up in Canada. It was like a daily show sort of thing. It was all based on the news, and I got hired right after 9/11. And basically, our job was we had to make fun of the news. But at that point, there really wasn't, people weren't feeling funny about it. But we found an angle that instead of attacking or making fun of the event, we made more fun of the things around the event, people's hyper reactions to it, the insanity that sort of followed that. And that made it palatable. But again, you know, it really is a fine line.
I'm going to just switch up a little bit because I want to know about the Christmas Carol that you're doing at Dad's Garage this year. So what is the show about, or can something even be about anything if it is improvised?
The beauty of Dad's Garage is I show up, they tell me what I'm going to do, and then I do it. I never get really any advance notice. All I know is they do a Christmas Carol, and every night there's a different guest star that shows up that has nothing to do with A Christmas Carol. I believe last night it was Little Orphan Annie. They've had just weird guest stars that pop in, and then they have to sort of continue the story, but using this new element. So it'll be a lot of fun.
It's interesting to think about how improv is so much, on some level, being out of control, isn't it?
It is.
So, in a controlled way.
It's controlled chaos.
So how about you, the other? the other, the one who is married to your wife and lives a regular life. Is there a part of you that looks for control or plays with not having it?
We've actually made a concerted effort in the last 10 years to sort of use rules of improv in our lives, where we actually say yes to things that may be outside our comfort zone or something a little leery about. We ended up going to the Congo for 2 weeks with an organization called World Vision to help get sponsorship for children there. And it was scary and yet one of the best experiences of my life. And we were in the jungle, working with these villagers who, beyond poor, but had this incredible spark of life. And, you know, like 15 years ago, I can't say for certain I would have done that. So since we've started saying yes to things, we've just kind of opened up our world and sort of relaxed more and met incredible people and gone to incredible places. And I hope that continues.
Yes. Saying yes more in the new year. It sounds like a good way to start. Thank you.
Thank you.
Colin Mochrie, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
The improvisational comedian and actor Colin Mochrie from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And many other things, including performing at Dad's Garage this weekend in Atlanta. He's going to be part of the Christmas Carol and be commanding his own improv shows. You can get details on our website, gpbnews.org.